Focus Sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
You are 100% right. This is The Beat. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton with you till 5:30 this afternoon on 720 WGN. Going straight into Blackhawks hockey. Hawks going for their 11th win in a row against the Montreal Canadiens. That puck drops at 6 o'clock tonight, pregame at 5:30. We'll lead you right into it. But before that, we have a great show coming up for you. We will talk to Glenn Beckman, who is the director of marketing for Shutt Sports. If you don't know what Shutt is, you might hit in your memory as soon as you hear football helmets. Manufacturer of football helmets. They apparently have a new football helmet, and they're going to show it to us. Glenn will be in studio, Glenn Beckman. And then a little bit later after that, at 5 o'clock, Jason Benetti, the new White Sox television play-by-play announcer, will join us. But first, what's up, guys?
Hi, Adam. How are you? JP, good afternoon. Very important day on the show as we try to make the world a safer place, or at least make people who are playing football feel safer. Or perhaps they won't want to play football after our interview. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I think everybody wants to play football, but I'm excited to hear about this new helmet. I wish I would have had it when I was playing.
Right. I mean, they say that it absorbs, contact and force against your brain. We'll see, and we'll let Glenn Beckman tell us all about it when he's here in studio. That's coming up at about 4:15 or so, and we'll have him in here for a couple segments for you guys. But first, NFL playoffs is divisional weekend. It's always a lot of fun in terms of both the quality of football you get and the fact you still have four games. It's kind of the best weekend of football that you can have. So last night, a great game, Packers, Cardinals. JP's thrilled because the Packers lose and it was still a good game. I got to tell you what happened to me, though.
Uh-oh. I've heard rumors of this, but I don't actually know the story for real, so I'm interested in what happened to Adam. By the way, 31-24, Carolina, Seattle. It was 31-0. The Seahawks have scored 24 in a row, 112 to go. We'll keep you up to date. What happened to you, Adam Hoge?
All right, so I'm watching the game just like everybody else, right? Watching the game. We know that it's coming down to the last play. There's 5 seconds, and it's Aaron Rodgers takes the snap. TV freezes.
Wow.
Frozen television?
You know a Hail Mary's coming. TV freezes. Picture stops. Now, the audio didn't. So I can hear what happened. I can hear Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth call the play and know that it was completed for a touchdown. But I can't see it.
That's amazing.
And the worst part is, so I've talked about on the show before, my in-laws are Packer fans. My wife is from Wisconsin. So they're over. They're over watching the game. And so they really care. I mean, I care because it's a football game and this is coming down to the wire. And I'm like, any of us who watch sports and talk about it for a living, we live for moments like that, right? No matter who's playing in the game.
That's amazing.
And the TV freezes. So they're freaking out. What's going on? And I've never had this happen to me before.
Without being rude here, your provider is?
DirecTV.
Oh, DirecTV.
Well, they got to own it.
No.
I've never had a problem with them. And
so I have a question for you, though. I have a question, Hoge. Why didn't you just go to, did you try your computer? Do you have an iPod Nano, something that you could kind of maybe watch the game on? Or was it, did you try anything else, or you just listened to the audio the entire time?
Well, so I had to cycle the box. Yes, you have to start the whole system over. That takes like 5 minutes.
Press a little button. It's a big move, big commitment right there.
I went to fortunately, because I cover the NFL for a living, I have NFL Game Pass because the NFL provided it to me for free this year as a member of the media. And you can get the audio on there. You can't stream games live. God forbid the NFL lets you stream the product live in the United States. You can do it in Europe. Actually, you can do a lot of things overseas to watch NFL content that you can't do in America. It's crazy. It's amazing. That's a whole different subject. but you can't watch the games live on the internet. So I turned on the Packer call. But by then, I mean, it was already in overtime.
No, you're done.
By then, they're flipping the coin, which didn't flip. That was hilarious.
That was maybe the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. The slow-motion video on the coin. I mean, JP, I don't know how many coin tosses you've been involved in your life, high school, college, and pro. But have you ever seen the flip not flip?
No, not at all. And it was just, it was when you start looking at how that game went last night, it was kind of, you expected something crazy like that to happen. But to watch it over in slow motion and it not flip, my wife was punching me in my arm like, I can't believe this, because she's a Packer fan, unfortunately.
So
you married a Packer fan? Wait, this is like buried the life of the lead of all leads. JP's married to a Packer fan. Did you know that, Adam?
Yeah, because he talked about it on our show last week when you were here.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No chance.
We had this conversation. Yes. Yes, we did.
I was here?
Yes, you were sitting right there in that seat.
Oh, boy, those college years. It was fun. That's truly okay. Frightening. But go ahead. Sorry,
all right, here's what I want to throw. I mean, this is like the climactic moment of six straight hours of football, right?
Yes.
And the TV goes out. Maddening. So 312-981-7200. I want to hear from listeners out there similar experiences where technology lets you down at crucial moments. We don't even have to limit this to sporting events. Maybe you're a huge fan of some TV show, and it's the season finale of or the series finale of Lost. And it gets right there at the end, and your recording stops, and you don't have it.
Worst experience of all time, we will give you a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Your worst experience of all time, who has felt the Adam Hogue pain? Let's see, this one is bad, but, I mean, you're not a Green Bay guy. And I know that you want your family to like you, but you probably deep down know that they have to like you anyway, so you don't really care all that much.
When we come back, I want to see, it's a little hard to do over radio, but I'd like to try to simulate what happened.
Okay. Let's go for it.
It's a little difficult because, again, the audio didn't go out, and that's the only way we have to communicate the situation over the radio. But I think we can pull it off. I think we can do it.
I'll follow your
lead. I mean,
lead.
My head was going to explode.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, awesome. Come on. Especially because you can hear the play, and I knew it was completed.
My head was exploding earlier that night for different reasons. It's like losing to Penn State and shooting 0 for 100 from three. That was a rough one last night for the Wildcat basketball team.
I can imagine. Watching an Original Six matchup in primetime as Patrick Kane and the Hawks take on high-flying Montreal. Blackhawks, Canadiens, tonight at 6 on WGN TV. 312-981-7200. We have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate to give away. Your experiences where technology lets you down in crucial moments of a sporting event. It's 720 WGN. All right, back here on the beat, Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton with you till 5:30, and we're discussing just an absolute nightmare that happened to me last night, one of the greatest plays in playoff history. By the way, can we give Aaron Rodgers credit? I know we don't like to do that here in Chicago, but that throw was ridiculous.
It was. Guy's unbelievable. Money man. The
I
whole
think
thing
you have was- to, right? You have to give him credit, you guys, because when you look at it was hard for me last night, and Carm, you know this, I really don't like to give that guy any credit, but to see him, the way he is able to throw the ball and to torque his body, did I say twerk?
Or twerk.
Twerk. Which one? Okay. Either way, I mean, it's just impressive to be able to watch how he's able to get himself in and out of trouble, but to throw the ball like he did last night again, I mean, that's just ridiculous.
All right, so let me see if I can recreate this. This is what happened to me. My TV froze during the Hail Mary last night. It was a nightmare. Technology let me down. Here's the NBC call of the play.
Rodgers is going to roll away, throws it up in the air, says a prayer.
Nothing.
So you're sitting there, like, just paint the whole picture. How many couches are in the room?
There's one couch. There's my lazy boy that I'm sitting in.
So you're on the lazy boy. How many people are on the couch?
There's my wife, her two parents, and James went to bed at that point, I believe. My son, he was asleep. And my dad's in the room, too.
What was the temperature Fahrenheit?
Good question.
We probably had the thermometer set at 70. Nice cozy 70.
So there's five of you in the room. Is there popcorn?
No popcorn. We ate pork chops for dinner.
Pork chops
that I made.
Dinner. Applesauce?
No, we went with Caesar salad. Again, I don't know what any of this has to do with the situation, but I'm happy to share our evening.
Well, if you had the plates right there, there could be a violent throwing of a plate.
Oh.
Perhaps.
No, there was no violence. We cleaned up by then. There was just a lot of yelling.
Who yelled the loudest?
Probably me. Especially because I'm responsible for the situation. I'm the one that sets up the basement, and the game is on my TV, and the DirecTV setup and everything. And I'm the one, even though it wasn't me, I feel like I'm responsible for one of the greatest plays in Packer history being missed by some diehard Packer fans. Like, I have, as even though they're the Packers, and these are Packer fans, I still feel responsibility to help them enjoy their fandom.
Listen, you're the king of the castle. This is your home. By the way, Carolina beat Seattle 31-24. They recovered the onside kick and took a couple knees, and it's over. So Carolina on to play the Arizona Cardinals.
312-981-7200. Go ahead, JP. Hey,
okay, Carm, king of the castle, he used to be. James is now the king of the
castle, that's true.
His son. But to ask you a question, though, Hogue, everybody was asking about what you were eating and plates being nearby. Did you have any spotted cow? Because, you know, you had people from Wisconsin there. No spotted cow at all?
It should be a rule that every time in-laws come to town that they should bring spotted cow down with them.
Agreed.
Then they didn't this time. They had before. Also, I'm pretty sure they're listening right now as they drive back to Madison.
It's a great beer, and if you haven't had it, you should. And the in-laws, if they are listening right now, should know better. And the next time they show up, there should be at least a six-pack.
Because they only sell it in Wisconsin. That's why you can't have it otherwise. 312-981-7200. Let's bring the listeners in and tell us their stories of technology letting them down. Dan is in Elgin. Hey, Dan.
I think the worst thing I ever remember seeing during a sports game was the original Super Bowl when they cut the network, cut the game and went to Heidi.
Heidi?
What's Heidi?
The movie.
Oh. wasn't that the Raiders game?
And I think it was the Raiders and the Green Bay Packers again in the middle of the fourth quarter. I broke a pool cue.
Where were you there, Dan?
I was over at a friend of mine's house and we were playing pool. I had to pay for the pool cue to replace it because I was so angry. We were watching the game while we were playing pool, and all of a sudden, sorry, we are stopping the game and starting Heidi.
Well, this was Super Bowl I.
It couldn't have been the Raiders because that was the Chiefs and the Packers.
Chiefs and Packers.
Okay, I know it was the Packers. I wasn't sure who the other one was.
But so
it was the Jets. It was the Jets and Raiders, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, that game where it cut out.
Yeah,
yes.
It's literally they stopped the game and started a movie.
All right, that's an interesting scenario to have happen in a Super Bowl. It sounds crazy, but I guess it was only a couple years ago that there was a blackout during the Super Bowl. Remember that?
That's true.
I mean, talk about crazy events. Sherry is in
the Heidi Bowl, November 17th, 1968. Dan and Elgin is on it. The Oakland Raiders scored 2 touchdowns in 9 seconds to beat the Jets, and no one sees it because they're watching the movie Heidi instead. With just 65 seconds to play, NBA switched up the game in favor of its previously scheduled program, the made-for-TV version of the children's story about a young girl and her grandfather in the Alps. Strong call by Dan.
It happened. All right.
Heidi Ho.
Dan, don't go. Dan, stay on hold. We'll talk to Sherry here. We'll see which story's better and whichever one's better. We'll give the Lumel noddies that we have.
Good job by JP knowing Jets and Raiders. Well done, JP.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey. So I thought my story was good, but I'm thinking I'm going to lose. We are huge Bears fans, as most people except your wives are in the Chicago area.
They're the only ones too.
Yeah. Exactly. So it was our 15th wedding anniversary, and we planned to go on a cruise. And lo and behold, it was the year that the Bears went to the Super Bowl against Indianapolis, and we couldn't get out of our ticket. So we're on the cruise, and they had set up a live feed on the boat in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico for Super Bowl fans. And so we were watching the game in our room, and right at the beginning when Devin Hester catches the ball to return for the
opening kickoff, right?
Our TV cuts out, and there was nothing. It was absolute silence. So they had said that they were having a viewing party in one of the bars or whatever. And so we raced out of our room and ran into it. And as soon as we ran in the door, everyone was wearing blue and white. And we're all Colts fans. And we got the dirtiest looks. And there were no seats available. And it was downhill from there. It was a nightmare.
You know what? So, I can sympathize with Sherry there. Because that was pretty much the moment of that Super Bowl.
And it was the only thing. And we missed it.
Sherry, the only thing that I didn't like there is you downgraded yourself at the start saying your story wasn't good enough. You got to believe in your story, Sherry. You had an awesome story.
Yes. It was awesome. And all right,
Sherry.
Sorry,
Sherry, we'll give you the Lumels because I think. What, you're disagreeing?
Well, we got Josh, we got others. I don't know if we can award Sherry out of nowhere. I think we need more contestants here, Adam.
She's a Bears fan.
I know, that's the thing. Ho just went all Bears fan 2006 love.
You want to talk about things flying? You asked that question earlier. Things went flying in the room. The Devin Hester. I just remember where I was watching that game. There was a table that had probably 10, 15 beers on it. And, you know, the whole it was like a tornado went through the room once everyone settled down from the play.
That was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the greatest plays in Bears history. And Sherry missed it.
Yes.
That's a rough moment.
And you're not going to give her Lumos. You don't feel sorry for her enough.
Well, no, Sherry had a great story, but she didn't deliver it well. It was a poor delivery.
You're downgrading for delivery. You're the Russian judge that's points off.
I mean, if you're sitting there judging and somebody walks on the stage and says, I think I might be the best singer, but that person might be better, then I'm instantly like in a land of you're just discredited.
The Midwestern University Eye Institute in Downers Grove is now accepting patients as a full-service clinic. The Eye Institute provides comprehensive eye exams, glasses and contact lenses, eye disease screening and treatment, vision therapy, low vision rehabilitation services, and emergency eye care, all at an affordable price. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. We got more calls on the line. We're discussing when technology lets you down as you're watching sports. It's 720 WGM.
Rodgers is going to roll away, throws it up in the air, says a prayer, and Janis does it.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
Oh, my. That may be one of the great throws ever made. Moving to his left.
And I missed it.
Falling away and launching a perfect throw.
That's insane. Now go back. Of course, we have to watch this again. Did he have control? They look at it. It's a scoring play. Is it a catch? Ball is bouncing around on his chest.
Oh.
That is the best noise that's ever been on a NFL broadcast.
I didn't think he caught it. I really didn't. It's lying on his chest, and he's barely, like, he kind of put his, like, bicep on it, and then whoever the defender was knocked at it.
I mean, a great play by the guy to come in and try to knock it loose, but I don't think, there certainly wasn't anything there that you could overturn.
No, with everything around a catch, non-catch, the last thing the NFL needed was to overturn that catch, but I mean, who the hell knows what a catch is anyway?
What was that? My 1-year-old makes that noise when he's filling his diaper.
I mean, I've maybe made that noise too at different points in my life. My God.
That actually sounds like the noise probably that Hogue made after his cable went out last
probably
night.
Very similar. Something like that.
That's a great topic. When have you made that noise? Because we've all made that noise.
Today. Some great text coming in on The Sopranos. We're talking about technology letting us down and things just cutting out. And couple people said that happens every time I watch the last Sopranos episode. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, everyone thought the TV froze.
Yeah.
Like, I miss the Sopranos. That was a great program.
Good.
I know he's not.
That's another great topic. Shows you miss.
Bring back the Jeffersons. 312-981-7200. Adam Hogue missed the Green Bay Packer, Aaron Rodgers.
The greatest play of all time.
Hail Mary, greatest play of all time that didn't involve the Chicago Bears. Your problems with technology.
Josh is in Joliet. Hey, Josh, thanks for hanging on.
You're welcome. How technology has let me down is like, you know, like when I'm watching a football game and then the sound is cutting out.
Just the sound periodically cuts out?
Right.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
You're battling, Josh. Just hang in there. Your future is bright.
That was perfect for that moment. That was so perfect.
What do you do when it's, you know, a heavy cloud cover, rain coming down? It's, let's say it's, I don't know, whatever. NFL playoffs.
You mean with the satellite dish?
Yeah, what do you do?
Here's where the only time I ever had a situation where I was sort of panicking about that being a problem. Remember how hard it rained the day the Hawks won the cup back in June?
Interesting. Okay.
There was like a tornado down by Midway or something. We had horrible storms like 3 hours before the cup clinching game. And so it wasn't during the game, but the rain was enough that I was like, uh-oh, I hope we're not going to have satellite problems. Which, by the way, also becomes a problem when you're trying to go to a bar to watch games, because all of those are mostly satellites, too.
It's true. I mean,
if it's hitting yours, it's probably hitting theirs. So rain fade, that's what they call it. It does happen. Not a lot, though. I've really never had a problem, and I don't know what caused that last night because I've never had my box freeze ever.
You paying the bill over there?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
JP, sure. I feel like this never happens to JP. Like, in JP land, he's got 7 different gadgets that are, like, blocking anything that could possibly impair him from watching football or anything else. Ain't that right, JP?
Well, listen, I'll tell you. We haven't had a satellite dish since like back in when we moved to South Barrington. My dad bought that huge satellite dish so he could watch the. My dad was a Mets fan. I don't know if that's another bombshell to drop on you guys
today. That's a pretty
big
bombshell.
I didn't know that.
That's the only reason why he bought the old big huge satellite dish. But other than that, we've always had basically had just like the cable and no satellite dish. So I'm an Xfinity guy. So Comcast. That's who I rock with. I never have issues.
Could 34 throw a fastball?
Oh, yeah, he could throw a fastball. He could do anything. But he just would – I remember that big dish. And in those times, it would be like you would have to wait. And if it was bad weather, he'd be upset. And so that's why I went the other direction. And now we just, you know, have just a straight cable. It always works for me. But I understand, Hogue, why you have it to watch all the, you know, the NFL games and to have the pass and all that stuff. But – I like the Red Zone on Comcast. That keeps me up to date on everything going on with my fantasy team.
Really, there's nothing else you need to watch in football anymore, right?
Red Zone's pretty solid.
I mean, Red Zone and done.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. By the way, my sister texted in. She said, I'm driving back from Wisconsin. Want me to pick up some Spotted Cow.
See, look what your
career...
Yes. That's clutch right there.
That's huge, and look what your career is doing for you. No, go back 5 years ago, you're not hosting the beat. Now you're hosting the beat, you're excelling, and you're getting beer delivered to you from your sister. And you're connecting with your sister. More love in the family. Everything's going on. Everything is turning up at home.
Wait, you think I don't talk to my sister? We only talk through the radio?
No, I won't.
By the way, I think it might actually be illegal to import Spotted Cow into the state of Illinois. So she might be committing a felony.
Really?
No.
No.
You just made me nervous for your sister, and I have no idea why.
There was an issue, though, this was a real story. Over the summer, there was a bar right across the border in Minnesota that was buying kegs of Spotted Cow and bringing it across the border and selling it in a bar. I think it was in Stillwater, I want to say.
No, why couldn't you do that? Why is that illegal?
Because you're not allowed to do that. You cannot bring Spotted Cow across the border and sell it.
That's interesting.
You're allowed to bring it across the border and drink it yourself. But to make a profit off of it, yeah.
I was just up at a Milwaukee Bucks San Antonio Spurs game. I know that surprises you. And I had a spotted Cal pregame at Major Goolsby's.
That's a great place, Major Ghouls.
Which is solid cheeseburger, fry, beer, pregame for your Milwaukee Buck action if you're an NBA diehard, which I know I am.
Speaking of the NBA, we're going to dive into this a little bit, but Joakim Noah.
Go ahead.
Tough ending, right?
It is. I love Joe. I've loved him since day one in town. He's been phenomenal for the city. Some of the reaction on Twitter, good. You know, he's done anyway. This guy has done so much for the Bulls and so much for this community. I hope he's back next year. I really do. But regardless, it's tough for him right now and tough for the team.
Hold on. Carm, you said you've been seeing just reaction on Twitter of people who are excited that he's done for the season?
I see a lot.
He could be done as being a Bull?
I see a lot of people saying, see, they should have traded him when they had the chance, all that type of stuff. Sam Smith has a phenomenal piece at Bulls.com and just detailing everything about Noah's career and his greatest moments and what he's meant off the court, and he really does a phenomenal job with it. But if you read the comment section below, there's so much negativity there. It's like, are you kidding? How could you? Because if you read the piece, it is such a good, heartwarming piece that you come out of there, you want to like leap through the internet and your computer screen and give Noah a hug and say, you know, or high five and be like, you're awesome, man. And then you read the comments, it's like, nothing penetrates these people. Like,
there's nothing worse than an anonymous internet commenter, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, on your comments in stories.
I mean, yeah.
That's a brutal world to be living in. It really is.
It's true. Even though your name is like attached to it somewhere, people feel real safe.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Joakim seems like a huggable guy, right? Doesn't he? I would give Joakim Noah a hug.
He's probably more of a high five guy.
You don't want to give him a hug?
I mean, I'd give him a hug. I just don't know if I could, you know, if he wants to get that tender with members of the media.
We'll dive into some Joakim Noah memories in our next segment. Again, here's what we got coming up. At 4:15, we're having an interesting discussion with Glenn Beckman, who's the director of marketing communications for Shut Sports. That's the common helmet manufacturer, a football helmet. And they have a new helmet coming out. We'll talk to them about concussions and some safety. Not just, you know, talking the NFL level, but obviously a lot of parents out there. And you want, if you got your kids playing football, you want them to be wearing the best helmets, the safest helmets, if that's possible. So I'm very curious to talk to Glenn about helmet safety and if there is such thing as a safer helmet. And then at 5 o'clock, Jason Benetti. You should get to know that name, Jason Benetti. He is the new White Sox television play-by-play announcer. He'll be calling almost all of the home games for the White Sox this year as Hawk only does the road game. So we'll talk to him a little bit after 5, and we're going to 5:30 here on the beat. Going straight into Blackhawks hockey. They go for their 11th win in a row playing the Canadiens. What a run the Hawks are on. We'll sneak some Hawks conversation in as well. 312-981-7200. It's the beat here on 720 WGM.
It didn't look good, Joe. I'll say that. I, you know, don't know. We'll get an MRI in the morning, and we'll have a better idea about a time frame. But, it looked like it popped out.
Were you able to see him? Or?
I talked to him at halftime a little bit. Yeah, he's obviously pretty beat up.
You think that took anything out of the team? I mean, you saw some guys kind of reacting or...
It's not an excuse if that's what you're asking. Sure. I mean, when you see that happen to somebody like Joe, who is an energy guy in this team and does so much for him, it's going to affect him. But, as far as that, did that affect the outcome? No, I don't think so.
Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg discussing Joakim Noah's latest injury, shoulder popping out. That was Friday, right? Friday's game.
Yeah, after the game Friday night versus the Mavs, Bulls were up 10 at the half, and they all went in at halftime, saw Noah.
That looks so painful, by the way. Oh. Jared, did your shoulder ever pop out?
No. I actually got asked that question today, just sitting preparing for the our show here on CLTV, and someone asked me, I've never had that feeling before. It never happened to me. I've seen it happen to some of my teammates, and it just looks so, so painful.
That thing had to be pretty loose to come out the way it did, though. I mean, not saying it's not painful, but
didn't look that bad.
No,
it didn't look like anything. It's not like his arm got stuck as he fell down on the ground or anything like that. It just sort of popped out.
Right, he was in an awkward spot, but he was trying to get back on the court as quick as possible, and it had not healed 100%, and now You know, I'll be on the court next year with who. I wouldn't rule him out, guys, of coming back to Chicago.
So his contract's up, right?
Contract up at the end of the year. But
he's out 4 to 6 months, so you're probably not going to see him.
You're not going to see him. What are we at? Middle of January, yeah. February, March, April, May.
I mean, if it's more on the four-month end and you're making a deep run in the playoffs.
Four-month end, Eastern Conference Finals. Noah returns to dunk on LeBron as the Bulls advance to the NBA Finals. Greatest story ever? Yes. Will it happen? I'd say it's a less than 1% chance. Right? I mean.
You're taking this hard.
Well, I love Noah. When he came here, remember when he...
It was a controversial draft pick.
It was, mm-hmm. And, you know, he had the long hair, and people thought because of his draft day outfit that he was a punk or whatever stereotypes were out there on him. And then, you know, he was suspended one game by the Bulls coaching staff, and the team voted to suspend him for two games because, you know, they didn't like the way he was comporting himself. But, I remember talking to him as a rookie. He was always interesting, and you could see that he cared. It was obvious.
Yeah, he really did, always.
So, I'm like, and yeah, he's not a traditional guy as far as scoring the basketball, but if anybody's ever played hoop, you want to play with a guy who wants to rebound, play defense, set screens, and make you look better. I mean, that's an ideal teammate. And he rose to, the guy was, I mean, he was a top five MVP candidate, which was, it's an unbelievable ascension from where he was at. And then he got hurt, and then it's gone sideways. But that doesn't mean he can't be a capable player, you know, for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years when he comes back. I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah, but the one thing, though, it's so difficult that you can't kind of replace is what he means to this organization and this locker room. And I have to be honest, from when, you know, he was drafted, it wasn't that I didn't like the pick. It was just kind of, I was skeptical of how he was going to progress, but he progressed and started to really show not only what he can do on the defensive end, on the side of the basketball, but also too what he means as a leader and in that locker room, and guys just gravitate to him. Anybody that's played with him, they all talk about that. They would run through a wall for him, and that's saying something about a guy that's, you know, been in an organization for a long period of time.
I think the reason why the pick was controversial was because he was one of those classic all-time college basketball players. You know what I mean? He seemed like he was, mm-hmm. he was just such a prominent guy in college basketball and such a high-energy guy that a lot of times when those guys come in the NBA draft, you're like, oh, well, he kind of has a low ceiling. You know, like, he's going to be a decent player. He's going to fight hard for you. But you always looked at his jump shot and you're going, well, he can't shoot the ball. Which was, by the way, something that I felt like he always worked tremendously hard on. It was never pretty, but he could step out and hit a jumper for you from time to time.
Right, when he get that sidewinder going, yeah. The tornado. I mean, look, one of the years that Rose was out, game 7 of the first round against the Brooklyn Nets, they're on the road. The guy puts up 24 points, 14 boards, 6 blocks, and the Bulls win the playoff series. And they go on to play Miami next, and they actually won game 1 in that series, or game 2, I forget, whatever it was. Everybody was watching Bulls basketball at Wrigley Field on that night. Nate Robinson went nuts. But a game 7, 24-point, 14-rebound performance from a guy who, when he came in the league, couldn't score. And then, and I think everybody remembers the dunk against the Celtics in game, right? Huh?
Carm, that is still my favorite. I remember where I was. I was at my house in Oswego when I moved out there. I was sitting on my bed watching that game and watching him come down 2009, just dunk on it. It was like 123-123, and it was tied up, and he came down to watch this big man run the floor and dunk. I remember jumping up over my bed, almost like snapping my MCL, ACL, whatever it was, didn't care. That was that moment, and he brought me so much joy. I love watching the guy play, man, and there's just no way I could be one of those people who leave comments like that about a guy who's done so much for not just the organization, but for the city.
Right. I mean, the Noah Ark Foundation, the guy's he's out there trying to get less violence in the city and trying to represent. I mean,
the PSAs, the commercials that aired on TV. Those are powerful.
They were, and he also, you know, he says something like, I play for the guy, you know, in the last row, the guy who's selling the newspaper, the guy, you know, he's driving to the stadium in his Mercedes, and some guy who's got, you know, whatever he's got in his pocket saying, you know, gets all hype, let's go Bulls. Noah identifies with that guy. I mean, come on. You got to love the dude.
Jarrett, were you still playing when you were going to tear your ACL celebrating Joakim Noah? Because that would have been
a
story.
Yeah, I was just back from Toronto when I was playing the CFL. So I was coming back, and then that 2010 would have been my final year when I played for the Chicago Slaughter. So, yeah.
That would have been like Carlos Boozer tripping over the bag. No one would have believed you.
Hey, it's cool. I was heading towards indoor football anyway, so it wasn't that important.
312-981-7200. If you have any Joakim Noah love, I got a pillow here. I'd like just to put my head on.
Joakim Noah love. I also, okay, so you have a problem with your energy company, too.
Oh. Well, I don't have a problem with them. I hope they don't have a problem with me.
Well, I have a problem with just a little bit you told me off the air. Is this something you want to talk about or not?
Well, I talked about it. Kevin Powell and I did overnight on Friday into Saturday, so I brought it up. I mean, I might as well, with integrity to you and to JP and to the Beat listeners, I should explain what's going on in my personal life quickly, because I do need help from people who have experienced this. Anyway, JP, I...
Well, let's save it for after. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll hit the news, but I want to hear it.
I need a lawyer.
I think you do, too, based on what the little bit you told me.
A good one.
I think you need to fight this one. You got to fight the man here.
I want to. Well, I mean, but right now, I haven't received any notices yet, but I'm anticipating a bad one coming.
All right, we'll explain next. It's 720 WGN.
Holy touchdown, baby!
Chicago Sports, spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hogue, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Welcome back. It's The Beat, 720 WGN. It's a very cold Sunday afternoon in Chicago. Hope you're staying warm. Glad you're spending some time. Listen to us recap a week of sports, fun week of sports, and also sad a little bit. We just talked about Joakim Noah's injury and how there's a good chance that's the end of Joakim Noah with the Bulls. Mark Harmon says maybe not.
I think it's a 50-50. 50-50. That's my take on Noah coming back to the Bulls. I would not rule it out. I had a nice run today outside.
You did?
Yeah, you guys running all today?
Yeah. Why are you running in this cold?
Because it's so cold that you can't walk in this. You literally have to go.
Oh, you ran because you felt like you needed to run to escape the cold. I thought you voluntarily put the sneakers on.
No.
That's what I thought, too.
Sweatpants on and went for a run, which doesn't seem very Mark Carmony to me.
Where I parked and where I had to be, it was about a half mile. I ran that thing. I felt like a champion.
You parked a half mile away from me?
Well, I'm doing the show here. I got to come back here. Am I really going to park four blocks away and pay rather than, you know, I'm going to have to come back to WGN in an hour, so I parked in a lot here.
Yeah.
And then I ran to where I had to be.
Oh, I see.
And ran on back.
I get it.
Got my energy on. You want to hear what...
Yeah, speaking of energy.
This is why I got to, you know, not pay extra for parking. So this is what happens, right? I'm at home, JP. I was at work at my fan-sided outlet. Now that's close to where I live. So I go home, lunchtime, fire it up to heat up a little navy bean soup. Next thing I know, you all right over there, JP?
Did you just fall over?
Yeah. No, okay. Everything's okay.
Okay, okay. All right, good. So I get home.
It sounded like someone just collapsed.
JP is no longer with us. He's given it his all. He has left the building after Carm's story. We love JP forever and always. I go to the microwave to turn on the old, get the soup going. Microwave ain't working. Go to the stove. Stove ain't working. Then I look around.
Wow.
Nothing's working. Fridge is off.
Power's out.
Power's out. So text the neighbor. Yo, Meg, you got your power rolling? I'm not at home. I walk around. I'm like, I don't necessarily remember. Did I pay the bill? Maybe I didn't pay the bill. So I called up good old ComEd. Hey, ComEd, it's at the Carm on Twitter. I got no power here. What's the deal? And then they started looking it up, and they say, your power hasn't been turned on since 2013.
What?
Ooh. 2013, JP. And I'm like, that can't be, because, you know,
it has been on.
Yeah.
Because I live here.
Well, I lived out of town, and, you know, a little while back I had a girlfriend, too. I stayed there all the time. But I feel very confident when I move back, I got all my facilities turned back on, switched back from the person who was renting my place. But, you know, and then I'm also a e-pay guy. You know, I live the paperless life, want to keep a low carbon footprint. So I wouldn't notice, like, I don't get any bills. Like, it's all just, you know, I don't check the bank account every single day for the $30. It just feel like, you know, when I've got a big bill in there, I'll take a peer, but I don't scroll through. I'm not one of those type A.
So you haven't been paying for your energy since 2013. I have a similar story here.
It's possible that I have not been paying, and I'm not 100% certain of this, but it's possible. And what I've been told, and if I can get some advice here, we did this on the overnight, but I feel like, of course, midday or afternoon, there's a little bit more people naturally listening. What's going to happen to me? I mean, am I going to get a bill for 3 years?
Well, what did they
years?
Tell you?
Well, yeah, what did they say?
They said that maybe they're going to have they're going to read the meters. Is what's going to happen? We're going to have a meter reading, and I'm going to say that
this happened to me. By the way, I'm not even kidding.
This happened to you, really?
When I moved, not for 3 years though. I moved into our house that we live in now. I want to say we moved in August, and it was maybe October before I realized, like, I hadn't, like, we filled out the paperwork for the switching the energy over, but I didn't get a bill for a couple months.
And then what happened?
And I finally called them and was like, and maybe I shouldn't have. And they were like, yeah, it didn't get switched over. And so they did it. But I basically got a couple months of free energy.
Okay. Well, I would like that. That'd be
great. I don't think they can make you pay for it. If they screwed up on their end,
I think they're coming after me.
I don't think they can charge you for 3 years worth of energy. That doesn't seem
fair.
And
I don't quite know that it was that long.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do. You do know that it's been that long. But I mean, come on now, Carm. That was the first thing I was going to ask you was, were you paying the bill? But now I understand. Like Hogue, you were talking about, this happened to me, but not in my house. I had a gym membership at Lifetime Fitness when it started in Schaumburg. My dad had an office around there, so he kind of helped. Not the building of the place, but kind of like getting the word out. And so I had a free membership for about like 6 or 7 years. And then one day I walked into the gym and they had a little red stop sign and told me I had to come back to the back. And they were like, listen, man, you haven't been paying for like 7 years. So it's time you come out of that pocketbook. So next thing you know, they didn't make me pay for anything, but I had to start my membership there. So I don't think they're going to make you pay for everything down the line, but you will have to pay for your power, sir.
I'm more than happy to pay for my power. I'd love
right.
it. The last thing I want to be is somebody that's not paying for their utilities.
But if they're gonna drop you like a few $1,000 worth of energy.
Yeah, we can't be doing that.
That's something I would fight the heck out of, because that doesn't seem fair.
Do you think Jimmy DeCastro would perhaps loan me?
I think he loves you, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
I don't think so.
JP, can I get a little piece of that coffee business to maybe take down my energy bill?
Hey, listen. I have a baby girl coming in April, so I got bills, man.
Congratulations again.
Speaking of Peyton family members doing things this week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are cooking it up like Mama used to do. Join the search for the best comfort food, Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV.
Texting in at 312-981-7200 looking for sympathy, but instead the 773 going, you deserve punishment and must pay scoff law.
Jesus.
That doesn't sound good.
Coming up next, we are talking to the Director of Marketing Communications for Shutt, the football helmet makers. Glenn Beckman will be here in studio. He's got a football helmet with him. He's going to tell us all about new technology with helmets, how they're trying to make them safer. We'll do all that next here on The Beat. It's 720 WGN. Back here on the beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, Jared Payton with you. So 5:30, going straight into Blackhawks hockey. Got the Canadiens tonight at the United Center back home, looking for their 11th win in a row. Right now, we're talking some football safety with you. We have Glenn Beckman in studio with us. He is the Director of Marketing Communications for Schutt. You know Schutt as the famous helmet maker. Glenn, thanks for coming in here. Tell us a little bit about the... You guys got a new helmet coming out, right?
Actually, we introduced two just last week at the American Football Coaches Association. And if you can imagine, 10,000 football coaches all in the same building. There was a little bit of testosterone flying around. And we introduced two new helmets, part of our Vengeance helmet line, the Z10 and the Vengeance Pro. And they both introduced some new features in football helmets that we think will actually greatly, significantly increase and improve the performance of our helmets.
So, all right, you got... There's so much. I mean, people within the game right now.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Yes. Well, let's start here. You've got people within the game that feel like the game is under attack. Do you have the same feeling, Glenn? And I would assume that might actually be good for business for you, but that's not really the way you want to go about it, right?
Well, if you look at it one way, Mark, we get accused of a lot of different things. We're supposedly the evil, cold-hearted capitalist organization business that's putting our children's lives at risk by cutting corners. And if you think about it, we have every moral, ethical, and financial incentive to make the best helmets we can. If we could look you in the eye and say, Mark, your son will not get a concussion if he wears our helmet, we'd sell millions of helmets.
You would.
And we don't, yeah, because we can't. And there is no such thing as a concussion-proof helmet. So there's a whole lot of things to talk about. I would tell you the most important thing for any football helmet, whether it is Antrel Roll or Matt Forte or somebody's kid playing in Pop Warner, it's the best helmet for that player is the one that fits him the best. Period. End of discussion. Doesn't matter how new or how old it is.
Hey, Glenn, when you look at the redesign of the two new helmets, the one thing that jumps out to me is reading about it is the titanium face mask. And I think when you look at that is the protection, especially for offensive linemen and defensive linemen, probably something that they love on this new design, probably, right?
Absolutely. You know, as an athlete yourself, as a former player, you always want bigger, stronger, faster, lighter. And titanium face guards are about 60% lighter than traditional face guards. So this helmet that we've introduced can be as little as a little over 3 pounds. And that's as recently as 5 or 6 years ago, that's half the weight cut out of a helmet.
I saw, how does the actual face mask come into play?
Believe it or not, it's a giant 3-ton spool of wire. Think of a spool of thread, gigantic, supersized with titanium wire on it. And we have CNC machines that measure, cut, and bend it. And then we weld all of those cut metal pieces together onto the face guard. And then it goes through a 15-step curing process. And then it is powder coated with whatever color powder coating that you want. So it's not actually rubber, it's powder coating, and then we can also paint face guards too. But essentially it's a bunch of different components that are then welded together.
So how does that absorb some of the impact though? Because
the impact absorption is how it's attached to the helmet. So, oh my gosh, probably 60 years now, one of our previous owners of the company, Del Humphrey, actually invented what's called the loop strap. That's that little clear plastic piece that attaches the face mask to the helmet. That's actually what's acting as the shock absorber for the face guard itself.
Glenn, do you have children yourself?
So you got I have two daughters.
So you got the
Yeah.
What's your thought about kids playing football?
I think football is a great sport. And, you know, one of the things my late father-in-law with his kids always said that his kids had to play one sport when they were kids, up through high school. And I do the same thing with my two daughters. They have to play one sport because team sports teaches you so many things about life that you just simply can't get if you are in an individual sport or something. And football specifically does a great job of teaching you discipline, hard work, what it means to depend on someone, what it means to have someone depend on you. And, yes, there are dangers, there are risks involved. There's no way around that. We cannot get risk completely out of football as a manufacturer of helmets and equipment. But you can't take risk out of life at all anyway. And so the benefits, as far as I'm concerned, greatly outweigh the risks. But that's a deeply personal decision that everybody has to make.
I've actually wore your helmets, and I really, really like them through my time playing football.
Great.
But a question, though, thinking about this, I mean, my dad, when he played, he basically, Glenn, he had two helmets. He had one that cracked, and then he ended up having another one. I think he probably, if that first one wouldn't have cracked, he would have wore that one his entire career. How often do guys switch up helmets?
You know, it happens quite frequently. And then there are guys that, you know, Tom Brady's the perfect example. Tom Brady's wearing a helmet that originally was, that the original configuration of Tom Brady's helmet, not the specific one he's wearing, but the model, came out 30 years ago. He's comfortable with it. He actually switched to our helmet a couple of years ago during spring training, and the first game he wore it, he threw for like 515 yards, and like, well, we're good, he's going to switch to it. But then he went back. And it's our competitor's helmet, but he's superstitious. He likes that helmet. So typically, a football helmet has a 10-year shelf life, so to speak. We recondition helmets, which means after the season, you or a coach gives us the helmet, we tear it apart, repaint it, put clean, sanitize it, make sure it's okay, and then give it back to you. We're not allowed to do that for any helmets that are 10 years old or older. But for us as a company, our position is really, it's not so much the age of the helmet as to how much it's used. So the backup, so like your dad's helmet should probably be replaced a little bit more frequently than the backup punter's helmet. And no offense to the punter, but they just don't have the same usage and contact as somebody like your dad or a lineman or someone like that.
So how do you, and we're talking to Glenn Beckman from Shutt, the helmet manufacturer, how do you guys determine or push your helmets out there to NFL players? Because I cover the Bears, and different players use different helmets, whatever, as you're talking about right now, whichever they prefer. How do you guys go about pushing your product and getting it out there with NFL players?
At the NFL level, we have a couple of guys within our organization in our sports marketing department, and essentially what they do is they'll approach the team, and they work through the equipment managers for the most part. They show them what we have. They explain, like with the new helmet, the new Z10 and the Pro, the big benefit for players, especially at the NFL and NCAA level, is that it is a smaller profile helmet. And so the profile of the helmet is determined by the standoff in the helmet. And you can think of the standoff, and I don't want to try to get too technical into this, but the standoff of the helmet is the actual space between a player's head and the helmet shell. And so the biggest improvement we've made in helmet design in the last 15 years was the introduction of the large standoff helmet. And it's a larger standoff, so it stands to reason there's more space in there, so we can put thicker padding or cushioning in there, so it tends to perform better. But when you start talking about elite athletes in the NFL or NCAA, they want smaller, faster, lighter, stronger. And so we've introduced the Z10 and the Pro with a smaller helmet profile that still gives the same performance and protection as the larger standoff helmets. And so essentially, as you said, Adam, the players can tell the team that they prefer to wear a certain helmet. The collective bargaining agreement has always said a player can pick whichever helmet he wants to wear, and the team must provide it for him. So we tell them the story. We tell them about our helmets. They try it on. And especially with the new Z10 and this helmet stabilization system we've built into it, everyone that's put it on, it just says it feels like that helmet is locked down on their head. And the absolute best thing that anybody can do for can have in a helmet is that it's fit properly. And it fits the best.
How does the financing go? I mean, some high schools, I would assume they can't afford to have the state-of-the-art helmet that's out there. And, you know, we were kind of throwing it around that maybe the NFL, you know, with all the money that's there, they're trying to protect the game, get people playing. Maybe some of that dough goes to certain schools on some base of scholarship so they can have the top-of-the-line equipment. Because a lot of those schools, they're producing the NFL players, I mean, if you really look at it, right?
Right,
so,
yeah.
I mean, how does that work for you guys?
Well, you know, we've experimented a little bit with financing, and the issue is finding a third party finance company that will underwrite these things. And so it has not had a lot of success. Most of the time, the schools, it's still a cash business in the sense that we send them an invoice and they send us a check. The school district sends us a check, and they do whatever they need to do to raise money, whether it's through the school or it's a booster club or fundraisers or like that. And that's really the way the business is right now.
We got to take a break. We have a lot more questions for you, so stay with us. But first, the Chicago Auto Show takes over McCormick Place from Saturday, February 13th through Sunday, February 21st. Fifth Third Bank is the exclusive bank of the Chicago Auto Show and your destination for discount coupons for opening weekend or weekday admission. Stop into any Fifth Third Bank today and pick up your discount coupons. And when you're at the auto show, be sure to visit the Fifth Third Bank exhibit and tell them your friends at WGN Radio told you to stop by and say hello. Fifth Third Bank, member FDIC. We got a lot more coming up with Glenn Beckman, the Director of Marketing Communications for Shutt Sports. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Back here on The Beat, Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, and Jared Payton with you till 5:30, and in the middle of a conversation right now with Glenn Beckman, the Director of Marketing Communications for Shutt, the football helmet manufacturer. And continuing this conversation, a couple things I definitely want to hit with you, but first, let's talk about the movie Concussion, which came out last month. I saw it. Okay movie. That was my reaction. It was okay. The part for me, because I cover the Bears on a daily basis during the season, was talking to players about wanting to see the movie. I had a fascinating conversation with Matt Slauson, the Bears left guard, about how I'm going to see it eventually, but right now I can't be thinking about that stuff while I'm playing. But yeah. I'm curious how that movie impacted your company and just kind of the reaction. I'm sure you guys had to be aware of the movie coming out and everything, and just your general reaction to it.
Well, yeah, I really enjoyed the movie, and I think, Adam, that anybody who's not intimately involved in football and football helmets probably found the movie a little boring, a little slow. At least that's what I heard from people that I talked to that saw it that weren't involved in the sport. From my perspective, I thought it was a really good story. It was a compelling story. But generally speaking, they got a lot of the facts as far as the timeline right. There were a lot of things in that movie that were embellished, shall we say. There was a movie a few years ago, The Vow, about a man and a woman, husband and wife. They were in a car accident. She developed amnesia. She remembered everything up to the point where she married him. Didn't remember anything after that. And he wound up courting her. They got remarried. I know the guy that movie was based on. And aside from the fact that it was a man and a woman, there was a car accident and amnesia, nothing in the movie was right. So
interesting.
I don't know exactly how much of the Concussion movie is embellished. Few of the things were exactly right. The facts were right, but
the science was mostly right. But the storyline based on the true story was a little embellished.
To get to, I think, the point where everybody would like my comment, they're making a very, very big leap from CTE to football. There's definitely a correlation between football and CTE. So far, there's no medical or scientifically valid proof that there's a causal relationship. Not yet, anyway. We absolutely have to look at it because there's too many guys this is happening to. We're finding it. What we need to find out is really, is it definitively football that's causing it? And so far, that hasn't been shown.
So part of the areas where this is really advancing in terms of what's actually causing CTE with football is the subconcussive blows. And I'm assuming that that's probably some of the toughest science that goes into what you guys do. Because, like you said right off the bat, there is no concussion-proof helmet. But you got to... The battle is just making it as safe as possible to limit those subconcussive blows that add up over time.
Right. Well, the science community, the medical community, cannot come together and give us a definite definition of what is a concussion and what causes a concussion. So it's very difficult for us as a simple equipment manufacturer to be able to say this helmet is going to do this, it's going to do that, because the definitions that we're being given change constantly because medical and scientific research advances constantly. We know more today than we knew 6 months ago, than a year ago, and 6 months from now we're going to know more than we know today. In terms of the cumulative, the subconcussive impacts, The theory is that the cumulative effect of all of those subconcussive, the minor impacts, the impacts that are generally not related to injuries, the theory is that those are as dangerous as the very high velocity, large impact hits that players endure. Not as frequently, but they still experience right. them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is where when you see these reports, you really have to read the study, because there was one done at the University of Purdue, and it showed they studied a high school team, and they showed that the players through the season, the players who were not diagnosed with a concussive event, 20% showed a decline in their cognitive score. Well, what the research, and so that would make you believe that the subconcussive, that football itself, has a detrimental effect on your cognition. What that study didn't show is that 20% of the players' scores actually went up. And that the other thing they didn't report is that by the start of the next season, everyone had returned to normal. So you really got to dig deep past the headlines and really read this stuff, because there's a lot of conflicting information. Nobody knows for sure, and that's why really what we caution people against is making quick decisions based just upon the headlines, because for every study that says X, there's another study that says Y.
It's pretty big. Glenn, when you look at just how these kids, especially in with the youth football, I mean, that's a it's a big issue, and we're starting to see, you know, parents trying to figure out how to make it safer at that level as well. When you're fitting yourself for a helmet, I don't know, because I didn't play at that level, and I feel like they just give you, you know, whatever helmet fits. How do you fit a helmet correctly so you know that it's snug on your face? I mean, is there a way about to go about that?
Absolutely, and it is really... It's more of a science than it's just simply, hey, you look like a medium, you put the helmet on, okay, you're good. Ultimately, the goals that you want to hit, you don't want the helmet to move independently of the head, so that that helmet is snug enough that if you grab the face mask and you move it, your head turns with it. You want the ear holes to be centered over the ear, and you want the lower edge of the nose bumper to be no more than 1 inch above your eyebrows. And that helmet should be snug. It should not. You see guys all the time. They take their thumbs and they flip the helmet up just like this. The helmet's not fit right. The helmet's ears should be pulled out in order to take the helmet off or to put it on, because the widest part of your head is up near your eye, the line of your eyebrow above your ears. But then it's narrower at your jawline. But that helmet has to fit snugly all the way around. So that has to be spread out so that it can get over the widest part and then still snap up, snug up to your jaws.
How's business right now? I mean, are you seeing any impact of the quote-unquote attack on the game?
That's a good question. We're not seeing a
Thank
lot.
Thank you, Glenn.
We're not. Well, you know, obviously there is a decline in youth players. I mean, there's no doubt about that, that we're seeing a decline in participation. In terms of the business of football helmets, the majority of the money is made, if you want to look at it that way, at the high school level, because we make more money selling a football helmet, a varsity football helmet, than we do a youth football helmet, simply because we know that the market cannot bear the price of a $400 football helmet for a 9-year-old boy. It just, we could make it, we could certainly make it, but no one would buy it. And so what our goal is to try to get as much of our technology, as much of our performance into the youth helmets as we can, at a price that the market will bear. And so sales-wise, volume-wise, we're not seeing a big effect yet.
So that's interesting, though, because basically what you're saying is that kids are not going to be as – now, they're not going to hit as hard and all that, but they're not going to be as well protected as the pros because
– Well, it depends on – you know, Mark, the technology – so the TP – we have what we call TPU cushioning inside our varsity helmets.
Right.
And it's thermoplastic urethane cushioning. It's big fancy words for plastic that we've molded into impact resistance, impact absorption. It was a military technology that's been around for 50 or 60 years that we adapted about 15 years ago to football helmets. And so that technology is in our youth football helmets. So I guess it's not quite accurate to say that the players aren't as well protected. But the helmets are designed specifically for youth players. They're much lighter because the younger players don't have the as well-developed neck muscles, so we don't want the weight of the helmet to make their heads drop
right.
late in the game, because if you drop your head, your chin drops, you're leading with your head, and all kinds of bad things happen.
He's Glenn Beckman. He's here in studio with us, the director of marketing for Shutt Sports. Last year, during a preseason game, Ryan Mundy, the safety for Chicago Bears, suffered a cut. I think he was 16 stitches, and he said that it was caused by the helmet he was wearing, which was a Shutt product, and he threatened legal action. I don't think he ever went through with that, but I don't really know the entire story, to be honest with you. I'm also sure it's not the first time something like that's happened. It's football. But how does the company react to that, and how does it impact whether you're fixing the helmets, making changes, or whatever happens after that?
Well, there are many different instances where isolated incidents happen. We look at every single one of them. So in Ryan's situation, I honestly don't know what the ultimate conclusion was to that. I do know that he threatened to file a lawsuit against us. I do know that in reaction to his incident, as well as other similar incidents, we've made changes to the interior padding of the helmet that he was wearing. So it's very possible that something happened that I'm not aware of in terms of our people met with his people, or if nothing happened at all. I honestly don't know. But in a situation like that, and that is why the commercialization process for a football helmet, bringing it from design to production to commercialization on the field, is such a long, drawn-out process. Because we'll design a helmet, and we'll think, well, this is good, we like this, and we'll put it on, we'll have some players test it, and they'll find out that something different is happening than we anticipated, so we make adjustments to the design of the helmet. And in this case, we changed the padding inside the helmet that Ryan was wearing, and we've made that change permanent in all of the subsequent helmets that we've made.
What's the...
And I remember...
Go ahead, JP.
Just being on the sidelines, I know just one of the big things, and I've been out of football since 2010, but... the air. Everybody used to always put as much air as possible to make, that helmet feel snug. And, you have guys running off the sidelines trying to get air. Is there any new technology with the air that's going into these helmets that you can pump into them with the two new helmets you guys have?
Well, actually, there is, Jarrett. We've replaced the airliner that's in the top with interchangeable different size crown pads. And so we've eliminated that particular air, the air cushion inside the helmet, the airliner for the crown. We still have it around the sides and the back. The reason for the air inflatable airliners is for the custom fit, so that liner molds itself to your head. But you're right. Sometimes there are issues with that. Sometimes guys overinflate, and that's just as dangerous as not inflating the liner enough. So we're still using air in a lot of our helmets, but we're slowly trying to figure out if there's better ways to do that.
How active is the NFL in working with your company or your competitors as far as getting the helmet as safe as it can be?
They're very active, and in fact, there was a new football helmet introduced last week also by another company out on the West Coast that the NFL, through their GE Under Armour Health Initiative, they awarded some money to them as well. And we work with the NFL. Our competitor, Riddell, works with the NFL all the time, sharing information, learning what they know, and we take that and we apply it to the way we design and the way we change our helmets. And what I would tell you is that we really follow the path or the lead of science and medicine. When they tell us we've definitively figured out that this does this, then we design our helmets in response to that.
Have you hung with Roger?
No.
Do you regret that in any way, shape, or form? I'm guessing not. No disrespect. That's a dicey spot for you, yeah. Glenn, I guess.
Roger and I probably would never be pals, but I'd love to meet the guy.
Absolutely.
I mean, whether you like him or not, and as a St. Louis Rams fan, our Los Angeles Rams fan now, oof. I mean, he's not.
It'd be a tough week for you.
He's not my favorite guy in the world right now.
JP's tight with him, aren't you, JP?
That's, pretty tight with him. I'll be seeing him in a couple of weeks here.
Yep.
See, yeah. Look at JP.
Jarrett gets his yearly trip to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Nice little weekend for him. Glenn, fascinating stuff. Thanks so
great
much
stuff,
for coming
man.
In.
Hey,
really
pleasure.
Appreciate it. It's one of those things that people think about but don't really talk about a whole lot in the science and everything that goes into making the proper football helmets.
Yeah, what I would tell you is that between us, Shutt, and Riddell, 90% of the football helmets that your fans see on the field are made here in Illinois.
That's pretty cool.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because our facility is in Illinois, and their facility is in Illinois. And between the two of us, we have about 90% of the market. So,
that's great. Glenn Beckman, he's the Director of Marketing Communications for Shutt. Thanks so much for coming in. It's the Beat here on 720 WGN. We'll come back, talk some football with you. Got an interesting game going on now, and a comeback that fell short earlier today in the NFC game. It's 720 WGN. Well, it was fun. Nice conversation there with Glenn Beckman from Shutt. I find that stuff pretty interesting.
I know you do. I thought Glenn was great. That was awesome.
It was good.
And I mean, the thing about too, you know, listen, I mean, my dad's 90 years old. He was in high school in the 40s. His parents did not want him to play football because it was dangerous. This is not something that's new. I know that CTE is new, but the game has always been a dangerous game. People play it because they love to play it. People drive fast because they like to drive fast. People jump out of planes because they want the thrill. I mean, we do a lot of dangerous stuff because we don't want to live in a bubble. We want to experience life. I mean, I understand there's a lot of difficult questions that parents have to answer about their kid playing the game of football. But, you know, you can get hurt playing a lot of things. And competition's phenomenal, and if I could go back and do it again, I would play more sports than I did as a kid, and I played a ton of sports. I see these kids that were sent to tennis camp and they like were boarded, and I mean, we didn't have that type of dough in the Carmen family, but like if I could have been sent off and like been 9 years old to play tennis for 5 hours, 10 hours a day, and try to have been the next
you love your tennis,
try to become the next Roger, but you're taught a lot of life lessons. I mean, you're out there as a 9, 10.
Right, and I think that happens in every sport. I mean, I know it's a common defense for football is the life lessons you learn, and I'm not denying that they aren't there, but you can also find those in every sport, at least in my opinion.
Sure.
Yeah. I played a lot of sports, man, but something about football, it's just a little bit different, you guys, when you're playing it. It's, I mean, just how fast it is, how just the hits and the viciousness of the sport. It's not like anything else. And I know there's other sports like hockey, and I get all that, but there's something to say when you're standing next to somebody and, you know, you have to pick up a blitz of a guy that's coming right at you. It really does. It makes you have to, especially I think in the off season that people don't understand, that's what brings the bond together. When you're running the 110s, when you're outside, and I said this last week, we're really not built to play the game of football. I mean, we're not supposed to be running into each other like a bunch of car collisions every single time. But like Carm said, if I had to do it all over again, I'd play the game because I love it that much.
Well, and I don't think it's ever going to completely go away. But, you know, like we heard Glenn say,
numbers are down.
Numbers are down. And, you know, I don't think I'm going to let my son play football personally. As much as I love watching the game and more football, I mean, with everyone else, my philosophy on this is as long as everyone knows what they're getting into, then go ahead.
Right.
But the awareness needs to be out there. And for me, the awareness is telling me I don't really want my son doing that.
I mean, I guess that's my point. Like, yeah, okay, we're finding out some more dangerous things about the game, but this is no newsflash that football is dangerous. I mean, I don't really, despite all the data and the various suicides that have gone on that you didn't see, at least when I was growing up, I mean, Dave Duerson and Junior Sale, I mean, that stuff didn't happen, at least, you know, 20 years ago. It's happening now. So obviously things are changing. But you got to remember, too, like, we're having Super Bowl 50 this year. That is nothing. I mean, think about like the history of time, not to get all weird and deeper, but 50 years of NFL, of Super Bowls. I mean, that's not even like a one blade of grass in the history of the world. I mean, it's nothing, right? I mean, does you kind of get what I'm going with there?
You're just saying the game's still young?
I mean, it's so young. It's
incredible. But it's also been around since like the late 1800s.
Yeah, but okay.
Just because the NFL didn't come up with the Super Bowl and merge with the AFL and put all that together
Call it 100 years, the NFL. I mean, Papa Bear, what, 1920s? It's just not, and you know, they weren't wearing the stuff they're wearing today. I mean, when OB and those guys play, they were ripping each other's head off. You can't literally do that anymore. I don't know. It's just
Vontaze Burfict's still doing that.
it's a fair point.
Right now, by the way, it's 10-6. Steelers leading the Denver Broncos in the second quarter. It'd be a very interesting situation if the Broncos don't win another game in the year in the playoffs. Just letting John Fox go. Oh, yeah. Last year for not winning the game.
I hope Peyton gets there, man. I'd love to
your
see
team Peyton Manning.
I'd like to see Peyton. I'd like to see him beat the Patriots. They will have a home game. You feeling that, JP? Who do you think wins that game?
I don't know. I just don't want to see the Patriots in another Super Bowl. I'll be honest with both of you guys. I really want it to be somebody else. I would love to see Peyton get back there, but it's
nobody.
I look at that AFC. Go ahead.
Nobody wants to see the Patriots in another Super Bowl, right? Like, literally no one.
Not at all.
No way. JP, what do you got coming up on your show tonight?
We got great Jordan Cornett from Campus Insiders.
That's my guy.
College basketball. Yeah, and 120 Sports. He's going to be coming on with us just to talk about everything college basketball, and he tweets a lot of stuff about football as well, so we're going to get into that. He was at the national championship game, so we'll talk to him about that, and a little bit of Joakim Noah, so Carm probably won't want to watch the show tonight.
Notre Dame with the big win yesterday over Duke at Cameron.
Let's not talk about that, please.
Really? You're a Dukie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like you don't know anything about Jared. Like, you that's really what I've learned.
How can you be a Dukie when you went to the U?
We've been on the air for 2 hours, and you've learned like 3 facts that I think every person in the world knows about Jared Payton.
Yes, come on, man. Okay, so for real quick, I was at the U. We weren't in the ACC. We were the Big East at that time. So I grew up a Duke fan from when I was in junior high school. So it's tough, but you know, I support my Dukies. But you know, Miami basketball is getting better as we speak. So that's pretty cool.
You got a Bobby Hurley jersey over there?
I actually do have one at my house, and I still have it from when I was in middle school. It doesn't fit. Tried it on a couple weeks ago. I could still wear it, but it'd probably be something I'd wear to the gym.
That's why JP and I didn't talk in April last year.
I mean, can JP put that jersey on tonight and tweet it out? I'd like to see how it looks on him these days, wear that Duke 11.
Jared.
I'll retweet that over and over again.
Have a great show tonight, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
Sports feed at 6 o'clock on CLTV. And coming up next for us, we're not done yet. We're going to 5:30, going straight into Blackhawks hockey. We will be joined by Jason Benetti after the 5 o'clock news. He is the new voice of the White Sox on TV for home games. Fascinating story. If you haven't heard about it, stay with us. Can't wait to talk to him. 720 WGM.
So they asked me if there are ways particularly that I like that people start conversations with me. There are a couple. One is, hey, I've seen some of the games that you do. You do a great job. Another is, wow, you're hot in person.
That's good. That is the newest member of the White Sox broadcast team, Jason Benetti. He joins us right now on the phone. This is The Beat on 720 WGN. Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen with you till 5:30. Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Been a busy week for you, huh? Where are you right now? You got games this weekend?
I am in. I actually just got back from a game. I was at Kansas State yesterday, and I'm back in near D.C. where I live. But I got to say, you win for clever intro of the week by far.
Nice. That's our producer, Mike Jacobson. He always digs for the audio. He came through.
The little apple, nothing like a little Manhattan, Kansas. That's always a hot place to be for a college hoop game. Great, actually a great stadium. Jason, I need to know, since you're a local guy, did you grow up a Sox fan? Were you a diehard, or did you like both? Break that down for us.
No, there was no liking both. I mean, my dad my dad early was a Cub fan, even though he grew up on the South Side, but my mom and I converted him. And I grew up on the South Side, so I was a Sox fan through and through. I did go to a couple Cubs games, but I was definitely, decidedly a Sox fan.
So take us through this week a little bit. For those that don't know, Hawk Harrelson this year is only be doing about half the season, mostly the away games. And Jason Benetti was hired and officially announced this week to do the majority of the home games. What has the reaction been? I mean, you're a local guy. You get your hometown team here. It's got to be pretty exciting for you. And what has the reaction been like this week?
The reaction's been great. I mean, everybody has been so positive and really. I did get one tweet from a Cub fan that said, "Congratulations on the new job. Hope you make it to the majors soon," which I thought was relatively funny from a Cub fan. But 2005 happened, so there's your shot across the bow there. But the so the strangest thing to me has been the amount of people I've heard from high school who I just have not heard from in a long, 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 long time, including my freshman year of high school English teacher, who sent me a Facebook message to congratulate me. And the thing that I remember most about her is we got into a really strong argument about the meaning of the word overt, and I still think I was right. But she was very nice to write me a note.
That's amazing. I've had the same discussion. No, I did not. With my freshman English teacher, as we debated, not the word over, but some other more basic English words, perhaps. Jason, you know, I know a lot of Syracuse guys, as you know, many of us do in the business, and I like some of them, and I don't like others of them. I would say that freely. But to every single one I talk to, they love you. And that's like maybe the biggest compliment you can get in the business, because everybody is so competitive in this business. Oh, he's a jerk. Oh, he doesn't work hard. Or this, that. You're like universally appreciated. That's got to, I thought I would pass that along to you, and it's that's got to be nice to hear.
Well, those checks and the Christmas cards and the Hanukkah cards really work very well. It's honestly, that's very nice to hear, and I very much appreciate that. All I can say is I try my best to help as much as I can and be good to the people that I run into. But, you know, I mean, it's definitely a community, and I've heard from a lot of Syracuse people, but other announcers too. And it's been really a very warm week for me.
So the White Sox call you up. Hey, this is Scott Reifert. This is Brooks Boyer. This is whoever in the upper, and maybe it's Jerry Reinsdorf himself. Jason, we want to talk to you about the White Sox home TV gig. Hawk Harrelson's not going to be doing the games. What'd you say?
I said, hang on, let me think. Okay. I had actually initially reached out to Brooks, and he called me back a couple hours later and said that they were interested. And I had a few meetings having to do with the job. And when Bob Grimm called me to let me know that they were making an offer to me, I had to fight every urge that I had in my body to just say yes right then and there without even knowing the terms of the deal. But knowing that that's not great business, I said, let me think about it for a little while, looked at the terms and, you know, thought about it, talked to my family, and very soon after I accepted. I mean, I've said this a bunch this week, but I honestly, it still has not really washed over me that come April I'm going to be sitting in that park in that booth and Sox fans are going to be watching me. I mean, I was a Sox fan watching Hawk for a long, long time. And it's really surreal. It's really surreal. And I'm really glad Hawk reached out too, because he could not have been nicer, and he could not be. This is not to say that I am a Hawk, because I'm not Hawk. Hawk is Hawk and there's no other Hawk, but I grew up watching him, and I grew up loving what he did. And so, you know, for me to be sharing a schedule with him is really lofty territory for a kid, now adult like me.
You know, that part of this, Jason, fascinates me because, you know, you and I are about similar age, and all we've really known growing, and I grew up a White Sox fan as well, it's Hawk. And it's the only guy that's been there, you know, for our life. And he is such a unique voice, the way he approaches it, the way he, you know, he's a classic all-time homer. We all know this. And that's okay, the way he does it. And you're like you said, you're not Hawk, and it's going to be probably a different approach, I'm assuming, and yet it's going to be a good, refreshing approach, at least in my opinion, but it's going to be, the broadcasts are going to be different, right? I mean, from home and away, and it's sort of be split, and I mean, how have you, I'm sure you've thought about that, and how are you going to approach that dynamic of it, because that is very interesting to me.
Well, many people have said that to me, and I've been thinking about it and thinking about it. And the overlap between me and Hawk is passion for what we do and love for the team. So while we might have different words and different metrics and whatever it might be, the passion and the love for the team will come through. And I think for Sox fans to see that in two separate ways is awesome. And, you know, when I was a junior in college, the year, maybe a senior in college, but I had on my DVR this call of Hawk. I don't know if you all remember it, but Timo Perez was on the team. Somebody hit a gapper, and Timo was going to score the winning run. And Hawk started when Timo was at second base saying, "Come on, Timo." Yeah. And he must have said it like seven separate times until he finally scored. And I just watched it over and over again on loop. I mean, it was just awesome, and I kept it for a long, long time. And I think, well, I won't do it necessarily in that way because it's not possible to, because he's him. I think the passion and the care for the team will be right there in no matter who's doing play-by-play, me or him. And I think that's the cool thing for everybody watching.
No daggummits?
Well, see, what he's hitting on.
I'm just kidding.
I think you should throw in a daggummit just once in a while. But I mean, I think
I lived in North Carolina for 5 years. I mean, I've got a little folksy here. Yeah.
Well, what you're hitting on, though, Jason, is, you know, for somebody like Hawk, who's been there forever, I mean, he can basically do what he wants, and he's going to keep his job. Whereas for young broadcasters coming up, it's become a more dicey and dicier proposition to actually speak out against the team, say anything that upper management doesn't like. So a lot of the personality in the play-by-play booth has gone away. I mean, how do you balance that? Because, you know, as a listener myself, I mean, I love a guy who's in the fight with me and will say things that might not be the most politically correct, but like 95% of the fans are feeling.
So I don't think in order to be passionate and creative, you have to. I don't necessarily agree with the premise. I don't. I think what you'll see from me is I like to have a good time. I like to be creative with the way I'm presenting things. And again, I like to have a good time. I mean, it's not going to be a joke fest, certainly, but it's going to be a broadcast where Steve and I can kind of stretch our legs, and it's a place where I can draw out of Steve comments, criticisms, laudatory statements about the team, whatever it might be. That's my job as well, is to help Steve be the best version of Steve that he can be. And I mean, he's already really good at that. He's a top announcer in the country in any sport, for my money. But I don't necessarily agree that a passion has to come from necessarily negativity. I just think, and I don't think that personality has to come from that area. I think you can be creative without necessarily attacking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I feel you. I think it's a great response to what I was asking, and you're absolutely right. You can, but sometimes I just think guys feel like they got to bite their tongue, and that's just the reality of the business.
Well, I mean, that's why if I'm gonna be critical of somebody, I will have talked to that person to hear what their rebuttal is going to be. That's where law school has helped me a lot, because if I go on the air and I'm critical of, to take a person that I know already, if I'm critical of Zach Duke, who I had in AAA a couple years before, if I'm critical of him without at least hearing why he's doing what he's doing, I'm omitting the possibility that he's tinkering with his delivery, that he's had a bad week because of something at home, that something's going on. And that sounds like an excuse. But if you don't have the full picture fleshed out, to me, I think you're leaving out the possibility of there being a piece of evidence that you just don't have. So that's why curiosity is so important to me, because if I'm not gathering that, if I haven't at least talked to the person, I'm not giving him his full due, and I'm not giving me my full due for the way I can hunt for information.
Well, Jason, I can already hear the passion in the way you're approaching it. And I'm as a White Sox fan, somebody who's lived here my whole life, I'm excited. I think this is the best acquisition the White Sox have made this offseason. I'll put it that way.
Ooh. I think we could
throw you in the conversation, Jason.
I mean, look, the Frazier family like owns Tom's River, New Jersey after what they did in the Little League World Series. So whatever Todd does this year, he's still got Tom's River. They, you know, the Terry Cashman, the guy that made that Talkin' Baseball song, wrote a song about the Tom's River team. He's in it. I mean, I could never top that.
All
Plus,
right.
I don't play the game.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Jason, yeah. Looking forward to meeting you, though, and hearing you all season long. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Pleasure, guys. Thank you for the time.
All right. Jason Benetti, the new White Sox voice, TV, home games. Looking forward to it all season long.
Awesome, awesome story.
He seems like a great dude.
I'm telling you, the Syracuse folk, these are not the most friendly types. Every single one I talk to, Jason Benetti's awesome. Jason Benetti's awesome.
Name a name.
Oh, Nick Wright, Danny Parkins, Jordan Burnfield. I can keep
all your guys.
All my guys.
With Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus.
The Midwestern University Eye Institute in Downers Grove is now accepting patients as a full-service clinic. The Eye Institute provides comprehensive eye exams, glasses and contact lenses, eye disease screening and treatment, vision therapy, low vision rehabilitation services, and emergency eye care. All at an affordable price. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic, your family's home for health care.
We're moments away from Blackhawks hockey. They take on the Canadiens, going for their 11th victory in a row. It's 720 WGM. All right, got a couple more minutes here on the beat. Adam Hoge, Mark Carmen, going straight into Blackhawks hockey.
Congrats again to Jason Benetti, the new White Sox home TV voice. That guy's going to do a phenomenal job.
It seems like he has a great sense of humor.
Yes, and a great perspective. And the fact that he's still arguing with his freshman English teacher is amazing about the word overt.
The part that we didn't get in.
You want to get, yes?
Which, the only reason I didn't ask him about it is because he's talked about it all week on, you know, everywhere. He's been in newspapers and radio stations, and what more is he going to say about it? He has cerebral palsy.
Yeah, we didn't even mention it.
I don't think we need to. I mean, it's something he's very open about, and he's talked about it. But you'll see as soon as he, you know, is on TV the first time, you're going to notice it, and it's okay, because from what I could tell, you know, it just adds to his character.
No question. And he's able to poke fun at himself. And he's obviously a very intelligent, well-thought-out guy. That's a great combination.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to need to take one more time out. When we come back, it's Blackhawks hockey right here on 720 WGM. Thanks again to Glenn Beckman, the Director of Marketing Communications at Shutt, the helmet manufacturer. Great conversation with him. If you missed it, we'll have it up on the website after the show. You can listen to the whole interview there. It was fascinating talking about helmet safety with him. And we just heard from Jason Benetti, the new voice of the White Sox. We'll have that as well at WGNradio.com.
It was a lot of fun to talk to both those guys. I thought that Glenn was super interesting, and I'm in love with Jason, so I feel
you're already in love. You feel the bond.
I do. And it's going to be exciting to get to hear Steve Stone talk again.
Okay.
You just going to leave that one out there?
I'm going to leave that one alone.
I think you enjoyed that comment, Adam.
I may have.
I don't necessarily mind him not talking either, because I just think the broadcast is just so incredibly ridiculous that it's entertaining. It's like a. Occasionally, it just could turn into a complete car wreck.
Wow. Thanks to Mike Jacobson, our producer, who even caught the eye of Jason Benetti. He got the nice compliment right at the start of the interview for the creativity and the rejoin. That's big. Up in the newsroom, Veronica Carter and our engineer, Jake from State Farm.
Jake from State Farm was amazing today, as he always is. He's going to do a great job on Blackhawk hockey.
Blackhawks hockey coming up next. They're going for 11 in a row against the Montreal Canadiens.
And if you're curious, it's 10-9. The Steelers in the lead with 11:51 to go in the third. quarter. Steelers with the football trying to add on.
Judd Surratt has your Blackhawks pregame coming up right now on 720 WGM.